The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Not another bad 7 days in the life of Luton Town. Brentford beaten against all odds thanks to a cracker from Craney. And then Call As You Like Colin stepping up to the spot to silence Stoke and send Hatters fans home semi-happy with 4 points from the week's championship action. It all means the boys remain rooted to the foot of the table. But with Barnsley rumbled by Reading, Charlton chastened by Huddersfield, Hull lacerated by Leeds and Middlesbrough thwarted by Forest, survival is still just 5 points from the grasp of Graham Jones and his spirited troops. We'll be analysing all of the above. We'll be looking ahead to what will most likely be a whirlwind weekend up at Wigan. And we're not just talking about the weather, by the way, and we shall discuss pretty much anything else there is to discuss from all the capers at Kenilworth Road. It is the Luton Town Fan Show with me, Matt Beadle, joined as ever by Matt Story, who will be here in a moment or two. James Cunliffe from thelutonian.com is with us too. Hello, James.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you, buddy. Great to have you with us as ever on Monday evenings. The Luton Town Fan Show with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. As I said at the top there, not a bad week to be a Luton fan. This time last week, it was the eve, of course, of that home fixture with Brentford. And the mood was positive, but pretty much not expecting to get a win against the Brentford side, who now are 5 games unbeaten. So coming to Kenilworth, without a win, I should say, coming to Kenilworth, not in the best run of form. And I tell you what, a Shandon Baptiste own goal and Martin Craney, what a finish. Who thought he could do it?
Yeah, he's actually got a decent strike rate. I think he's had 3 shots and scored 2 goals. So he's not too bad. He's just not getting in front of goal more often, I say. But it was fantastic first half. A wonderful match, really. Not that Luton had much of the ball. The possession stats were crazy for Brentford. But, they got that early breakthrough from a Luke Berry cross. And he crossed for the second goal for Craney as well. Cracking top corner shot. And then I think at halftime, it was like sort of cautiously optimistic, but thought that usually Luton would give an early goal away and then it would be a struggle. But Luton did a really good number on Brentford and they let them have the ball when they closed them down, pressed really high. And when they did score, I think everybody thought that they'd get back into it, that they'd get a draw because the mood was a nervy one. But they really did themselves justice and played it out and got the victory. So I didn't see it coming, to be honest. One of the best performances of the year, of the season, I'd say.
I've got to ask you, were there squeaky bums when Ollie Watkins reduced that deficit? It was only 7 minutes of the game to go plus injury time, but I'll tell you what, yeah. they've got history for coming back into games, haven't they, Brentford?
They do, and Luton have got form for letting team score early goals, late goals, goals in general, really. I think once he scored that, they didn't really have too many shots. I think they had so many their chances, they had so much possession, but Luton restricted them. And it just felt like, 7 minutes to go. Plus the extra time when they added it on, I think about 5 or 6 minutes, it seemed like an eternity. But they really held firm, and it was one of the best defensive displays that they've put on. Well, it's probably the best defensive display they put on all season, really, to keep them out, considering, you know, Brentford was second top goal scorer in the Championship, before the game. So it was some effort.
It certainly was. Matt Storey joins us on the line now as well. Freelance journalist, a massive Luton Town fan. Hello, Matt.
Good evening.
Great to have you with us, as always. You've got James Cunliffe on the line as well. We're just going over the victory over Brentford. We're going to come to the game with Stoke a little later in the show. But the victory over Brentford, I said this time last week, we were talking about it, not particularly hopeful that we might be able to get a result against the Bees, but they weren't on the best run of form, and it showed. Or should I say, Luton actually dominated them. Perhaps we're doing Luton a disservice to say that Brentford played poorly.
I wouldn't say Luton dominated them. And I wouldn't say Brentford played poorly either. I don't think... I've certainly, having seen all the only teams I haven't seen play in the Championship this season are Huddersfield and Barnsley. And I'm absolutely certain that Brentford are the best team that Luton have come up against. I know West Brom and Leeds are the top two, but in terms of displays against Luton twice, I've thought they've looked an excellent side. And I know a couple of Brentford fans, and they text me saying, "Oh, that was our poorest performance of the season." And actually, I think that is doing a disservice to Luton. The reason Brentford maybe didn't make as many chances as they normally would, didn't have the clear-cut opportunities, is because of the defensive work of Luton, the shape of Luton, the determination of Luton, and just the concentration, which was 95, 96 minutes of complete effort, dedication to the cause and the game plan that had been put out, and was a fantastic display. And let's not forget, Harry Cornet missed a good chance to make it 3-0 in the second half as well. So, I don't think it gives Luton enough credit if people say Brentford were poor, and I don't think they were poor. Some of their movement going forward is exceptional, and I think it was Luton's play and Luton's shape and Luton's work rate that stopped them scoring, not necessarily Brentford being that off colour.
Absolutely not. And we'll move to the game against Stoke as well, because we spoke about it, a relegation nine-pointer in a sense. Now the Potter's coming into this one, clean sheets in the last two. Luton, we know, clean sheets in two of the last three for them. And listen, Sam Vokes with the opener, but an absolute lifeline with that penalty right at the death. Now, listen, Stoke might argue against that one. I know Michael O'Neill was not happy with the penalty being given, James, but James Collins, it doesn't matter, stepping up his 11th goal of the season, probably so far, would you say his biggest goal of the season?
Oh, absolutely, because they didn't deserve anything, really. It was complete polar opposite from that Brentford game. It just seemed like the energy had sat, the effort they put in against Brentford, the energy had completely gone, but it was more than that. As well, they just couldn't do the basics right. They couldn't pass to each other, and stuff that really frustrates fans as it goes on. And they didn't look like they were going to score. They did have a couple of chances in the second half, but overall, the general play was they didn't really deserve to get anything out of the game. I think actually the replays have shown that perhaps, for a second game in a row, Luton have been disallowed a goal for offside. So when it came at the end, and last knockings really, that Callum McManaman got tripped, and yeah, it was just one of those nervous ones really, because if he doesn't score, there's no other chances that were going to come their way, and it really was sort of a bit of a steal really, getting a point off them.
So, Matt, do we see this as one-point game? Because I know Graham Jones said after the game that, you look at Charlton, of course, who fell to a defeat, a horrible defeat to Huddersfield Town. That was certainly one of those 6-9-pointers. But he did say, listen, Charlton were 9 points ahead of us 7 days ago. Now they're only five. So that's the important thing here, is that we've actually gained. We've gained on our rivals rather than falling further behind.
Yeah, do you know something? I think we only knew if it was a good point or not within the last hour. if Middlesbrough had hung on and beat Nottingham Forest and ended up on 40 points, I'm not convinced it would have necessarily been that good a point. As they've only drawn with 4 points off them, 5 points off Charlton and Stoke. Yeah, it is a good point because, as James said, we weren't at the races. I was surprised that Graham Jones only made one change, bringing Easy Brown back for Luke Berry, who was injured, purely because after the Middlesbrough victory, which was the third game in a week, when he made four or five changes, and if you looked on social media before that game, he was slated. And a lot of people disagreed with the team and said, oh, Jones is a clown, essentially. And he made such a big deal in his post-match press conferences of how he'd learnt from earlier in the season when we lost 7-0 at Brentford that we can't necessarily rely on the same players for three games in a row. Whereas when the team was announced on Saturday at 2 o'clock, I was very surprised that there was only one change. I thought he would put the fact we played so well and got the result to the back of his mind and go back to the Middlesbrough performance and make numerous changes so that we did have the energy to play. Because we looked leggy. I thought we tried to play the ball out from the back more than we have in the last 2 months, certainly more than we have in our best performances of the last 2 months. And we seemed to get ourselves into trouble a lot doing that, which was a bit odd. But yeah, it was just a game we weren't at the races. And I think Stoke deserves some credit defensively because the victories we've got in recent weeks have been against teams who haven't been afraid to have a go at us and push forward. When Stoke got their goal, I thought they sat back a lot deeper. And as long as we weren't going to counter-attack them, they were quite happy that we weren't going to break them down. As soon as Matt Pearson or Cameron Carter-Vickers had the ball, they were quite happy to let the centre-backs have the ball. And they were going to get bodies behind the ball in their own half and make sure that we couldn't use the pace of Harry Cornick or someone like that. So like we gave Luton credit for Brentford's display, I think Stoke, whilst I think for the players they have, are an awful side and should be doing a lot better. I think Michael O'Neill probably watched our victories over Derby, Byron, Brentford back and saw that we're most dangerous when the opposition push players forward, leave space at the back and we counter-attack. And they really, especially once they went ahead, didn't let us do that. So that's a game where you need someone like Izzy Brown, Penny Ruddock to step up. And look, they weren't at the races. So I guess when you say that, it's a burglar point at the death when we hadn't really forced Jack Butland into a great save of note. That could be an important point. But it does put a lot of pressure, I think, on the Wigan away game now.
He did say, didn't he, James Collins, that, you know, 3 months or so ago, that, you know, we wouldn't have got that point, would have lost the game, would have been here heads in hands. It would have been disaster in the dressing room, James. But quite clear. I mean, do you agree there with what Matt's saying with regards to Izzy Brown coming in?
Yes. I mean, if he was a decision really forced on Graham, Izzy Brown-wise anyway, because Luke Berry had got injured the day before. And he played such an important role in the Brentford game in the way that Luton defended from the front. He was, you know, standout performer, I think, in that game. And so it was a bit of a blow there. And he did admit afterwards that Izzy Brown was only half-fit. He'd trained two sort of half sessions before the game. And you could see that because he was off the pace. But the ball wasn't even getting to him half the time because, you know, Matt's right that Stoke were, even before they scored, it was only a 9th-minute goal, but they were quite happy to sit back and let Luton play in front of them. And there were no options. They were very tight. Joe Allen, to be fair, ran the show, certainly the first half. And they just couldn't make that any breaks between the lines that Stoke had. So it was a difficult one. And you needed somebody like Izzy Brown to be sort of top form Izzy Brown. He just wasn't that at the point. But I do agree with Matt about it was a surprise that he didn't name any more changes because when he did actually make the changes in the second half, you could say that they turned the game slightly because there was a bit more attack in the intent, and you know, Callum McManaman obviously won the penalty. Luke Bolton was pretty good as well. So, it was a surprise. I actually think when you look at the two games, in hindsight, I'd rather have drawn the one against Brentford and beat Stoke. I think it probably would have meant more in the long run. But, it is what it is. 4 points is still a decent return. And it does, either way you look at it, does put a lot of onus on that game at Wigan at the weekend.
Yeah, massive game at the weekend. It's funny that you actually look at it that way. You get 4 points, but actually you would have rather got the win over the team in and around you because of that psychological advantage. But Matt, we've spoken about how bonkers the Championship has been this season, and the weekend's games were quite interesting because it was pretty much an even split between the top half playing against each other and the bottom half playing against each other. I know that West Brom lost, of course, to Wigan. Unbelievable result. That one was Leeds, obviously, against Hull. But like we said, you know, Charlton meeting Huddersfield. Again, Middlesbrough playing Nottingham Forest, so not exactly the same there. But Barnsley losing to Reading, and yourselves, of course, coming up, of course, against Stoke. So the teams in and around each other ended up coming against each other, and there was pretty much everybody cancelling each other out. But as things stand, you know, you've got yourselves on the bottom now, level with Barnsley, Middlesbrough in those relegation spots as well, and Stoke. It is still so packed. I think it's something like 10 points now separating, or 9 or 10 points separating those bottom 10 teams.
Yeah, and I think this weekend we've obviously got Wigan, and Charlton have got Borough, and Stoke have got Hull. So it's another weekend where there are three games between teams in the bottom seven, I think. Is that right? So bottom seven or eight? Only Barnsley, out of the kind of bottom teams, aren't playing someone in and around them. So people are going to pick up points. That's just what's going to happen. And that's why I think the game at Wigan is so important as well, because we have a run of games after the Wigan game against teams who are higher up the table. And we've seen earlier in the season that picking up points in those games could be more difficult, especially away at Swansea, away at Leeds. If you don't get a result at Wigan, there is a real danger that Luton will find themselves with a 9-point gap again by the international break, and suddenly it becomes a daunting task and an even more unlikely one. All Luton fans know it's unlikely that we'll stay up, but defeat at Wigan, or draw at Wigan, and maybe other results don't go the way we'd necessarily want, the table will be bleaker again. So, look, we're playing what the most informed team in the division on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, it's absolutely the ridiculous run that they've been on. Of course, unbeaten in five, won their last three on the bounce.
Yeah, so it's not going to be easy, but it's still a relegation six-pointer. They're still a team who, for the majority of the season, have struggled. So Luton have to go in there with confidence. But I think we all know that while the game's going on, certainly our eyes will be on the other clashes and hoping that, I guess, they all end up 0-0, 1-2 all, and no one picks up 3 points in and around us, because it is unbelievable that we've decided to go on a run of games. And I think, on four of the last seven or eight now, and everyone else around us, apart from Borough and maybe Hull, seems to have picked up points too.
Unbelievable it is. And Wigan up next, as you say, of course, beating them in dramatic fashion earlier on in the campaign with those goals from Callum McManaman and George Moncur. Kiefer Moore with a goal on that occasion. He seems to have rediscovered his goal scoring touch too. We'll be getting into that and a little bit more on the Luton Town Fan Show next.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Luton Town Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beale, with Matt Story and James Cunliffe. Gents, before we look ahead to the Wigan game and a couple of other bits of admin that I want to get through, Alan Sheehan was at the game, wasn't he, on Saturday? Quite interestingly, if you were to check his Twitter handle, still says footballer for Luton Town. He's since moved on to Lincoln, but some nice messages, Matt, on social media over the past few days, just congratulating him, wishing him all the best in his future career.
Yeah, no, it's a good move for Sheehan. I like Lincoln as a football club. They got a passionate fan base. I think he'll do well there. And all Luton fans loved him. The only disappointment on my part is one of Sheehan's, probably one of his worst moments in a Luton shirt was after 2 minutes on a New Year's Day. Must have been 2 or 3 years ago now. He got sent off after 4 minutes against Lincoln for punching Matt Reed. And I'm slightly disappointed Lincoln did decide to use that video when they announced him rather than him scoring some brilliant free kicks. But no, he was a good servant for Luton. Did very well. Was Nathan Jones's first signing. And I know a lot of Luton fans hope that he might have a successful career in coaching or management and ends up back at Kenilworth Road one day. So I think it's a good pickup for them.
Do you know what? Actually, while we're on this and on social media and the way that clubs utilise social media, James, I'll come to you on this one because it staggers me sometimes the pure idiocy that we see from certain clubs and their social media handles. And correct me if I'm wrong with this, but every time I've looked at Luton Town's social media over these, I can't recall any kind of scandal or any kind of ridiculous tweet that they've put out. And I looked at the actions of Leeds this weekend, and we won't get too much into this, but I'm just keen to know what you think, especially from your club's viewpoint. And, you know, they absolutely hammered Hull and then released a tweet saying, a timely reminder of where today's result leaves Leeds and Hull in the league. Utterly pointless. We know where you are and we pretty much know where Hull are. And they also dug up a tweet about Hull, whereby they tweeted back in mid-December, great weekend for late equalisers, eh, Cardiff City? Hull had a late equaliser that day. So did Cardiff in that 3-3 game with Leeds. And they said, you know, don't worry, Hull, you always have that time another team got a draw against us. And I kind of think, what is going on at these clubs that do this social media? And this is professional football, for crying out loud. Why are we drawing ourselves into such childish squabbles? And you never really see that from Luton, which is obviously a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see those tweets. It does sound fairly petty. Maybe the person running those...
I think with the Leeds and Hull ones, Leeds tweeted that because Kiko Kassia, the Leeds keeper, was suspended on Friday night, was banned for 8 games for racism. And Hull sent a tweet out within half an hour saying a timely reminder that tomorrow's game is our official kick out game, where they were campaigning against racism. And then Leeds fans jumped on that. And went ballistic at them and said, don't try and point score now. And then obviously their own social media has gone back and done the same thing after. So I think there's even more background and unnecessary tweeting towards that.
So which in itself is utterly ridiculous, right? Because, OK, Hull, I suppose, listen, they're doing it for the greater good in a sense, which, you know, he was banned for using racist language towards Jonathan Lecco. That's what he was eventually charged with. So surely if you're Leeds, you rise above it. I don't know, gents. It's one not for really this particular show, just the Leeds show. But as we were on the topic, I thought it was worth mentioning.
On the subject of tweeting, actually, if it's sort of the other direction, there was this sad... passing of a young Luton fan recently, Ethan Matthews, and Watford did a really nice tweet about him. So it shows the other side of it, that it can, you know, there are things that you should rise above just pettiness and squabbling and do some sort of nice post there, even though Luton and Watford are massive rivals, although they've not played each other God knows how long. it just shows, you know, how it can be used as a good thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely, James. We'll get back to the football, shall we? Wigan, of course, this weekend. Now, I was looking at some statistics, fellas, from worldfootball.net, and this was all to do with average home attendances and how they shape up against everyone else in the division. Now, it won't surprise you to hear that Wigan are bottom of the pile. Now, this is in reference to the ground capacity and their average attendance this season. For Wigan, just over 25,000 is the capacity, just over 10,000, which is their average attendance. So the percentage of their ground being full is just over 40%. Luton, on the other hand, pretty much at the other end of the scale, very near the top of the pile, in the top five, of course, just over 10,000 capacity, Kenilworth Road, and that is pretty much the average attendance as well. So percentage full for Luton, nearly 100%, 97% every game, Matt.
Yeah, and I think there's actually a message in that Wigan's attendance is probably, their average attendance, forgetting their Premier League years, is probably about as high as it's ever been in the last 50 years of them being a club. Unfortunately for them, when they built a new stadium, they probably stuck 10,000 too many seats on it. And now when they're back to the level that they have historically been at, it shows. And I think it's so important that Luton have got the capacity right at Power Court, whether it's 15, whether it's 17,000. You don't want it to go bigger, because when you do drop back down, it looks silly. And the DW, as it's called these days, does look silly because there's no one there. And it's an empty stadium, but I suspect actually that is more like Wigan's usual attendances over their history than what they got for the 10 years there in the Premier League. So, look, while they do get criticised and their stadium is empty, I guess that's what they are as a football club. And we don't want to end up like that, or like our franchise friends along the road who have 6,000-7,000 in a 30,000-seater stadium, because it does look stupid and it does make it hard to create an atmosphere. And I certainly know I've preferred the away games this season where the ground's full and there's 1,500 Luton fans and 30,000 other fans. It's much better for everyone, really.
Yeah, certainly is. I actually recall visiting the George Reynolds Arena all the way back in the day with Darlington. Crikey, that was an experience. Absolutely no one in there. Utterly ridiculous. You could hear the players calling each other. You could hear them every time they kicked the ball. It was like an echo around the stadium. But gents, we are nearing the end of the show. Matt, I'll come to you first. A prediction, please, for Saturday's game against Wigan.
Wigan 0, Luton 2.
Oh, lovely stuff.
Heart, not head. Heart, not head.
James, what are you saying?
2-1 Luton.
Nice and easy. Gents, nothing but a pleasure talking to you again on a Monday evening for the Luton Town Fan Show. The Hatters travelling up to Wigan on Saturday. Wigan on a fine run of form. 5 unbeaten in the Championship. They've won their last 3. A massive 3 points at the weekend against league leaders West Brom. Luton, 5 points adrift of safety. They've got a chance to close that gap. Middlesbrough drawing, by the way, today against Nottingham Forest. Lewis Grabban with a late, late goal for the away side. And Jonathan Woodgate looked like he was chewing on a wasp on the sideline there. It means that Middlesbrough drop into the bottom three, just 4 points ahead of Barnsley and the Hatters. We'll be bringing you all the reaction from that Wigan game next week. Luton Town Fan Show, 10:30 Monday evening. We'll see you then. Cross for the forward, tune up the ball in. Up go the cheers of the Luton Town crowd, right through the whole of the season. Hatters, Hatters, what a great team. Let's show the others that we are the cream. Hatters, Hatters, what a great team. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.